Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tennell. For today, Sunday, March 23rd, we have an exciting show planned for you tonight. Just want to remind you all that the call-in number is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. If you have a question or comment, just call that number and we'll get it right. We'll get your question answered right here online with our guest. And you can also join us on our tweet chat by using the hashtag Beauty Lounge. Again, that's hashtag Beauty Lounge. Now I'm going to turn it over to my sister Denise, who's going to share some beauty news with us.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Beauty News. For those of you living in the Charlotte, North Carolina area and the surrounding areas, Greensboro, Durham, Raleigh, Winston-Salem, Janice and I will be teaching a class on Monday, March 31st, at Diversity Hair Salon in Charlotte from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. We will be covering proper corrective techniques for film and TV and red carpet makeup looks with an emphasis on HD. So if you're interested in taking that class or just perfecting your skills, you can email us at illusionsbeauty@gmail.com. Again, that's illusionsbeauty@gmail.com, and we'll get you out all the necessary information for registering for that class. And again, it takes place at Diversity Hair Salon in Charlotte, North Carolina on Monday, March 31st from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And this announcement we made last week, and we will continue to make it every Sunday until sometime in June, but Beauty Talk presents Famous Nails Nail Competition at Fame Expo on June 28th and 29th in Pasadena, California. We can go to fameexpo.com for more information. That's PHAMEXPO.com, or you can email us at famousnails@fameexpo.com. That's PHAMEOUSNAILS@fameexpo, PHAMEXPO.com. And let me just briefly give you a little information on the competitions once again. There will be four different competitions and three different divisions within each competition. On day one, on the 28th, we'll have competition number one, Soak Off Gel Salon Art Design. Competition number two will be Selfie One-Hand Salon Art. On day two, the 29th, competition number three will be Nail Art Acrylic and Gel Competition. And competition number four will be Flat Art Tip Box. So if you're interested at all in taking part in this Famous Nails nail art competition, please email us once again at famousnails@fameexpo.com.
All right. Thank you very much. We're excited about tonight's show. We have Ms. Felicia Lee on the line, and she is a red carpet makeup artist and a beauty activist. So welcome to the show, Felicia.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Absolutely. We're excited to have you here. Thanks to Donna Mee.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks to Donna Mee. I owe my entire last 10 years to Donna Mee. So, yes, Donna Mee is amazing.
Yes, she is. And actually, she was on the show last Sunday night. So we're excited to have you here. I just want to jump right into the conversation because
I want to cover a lot tonight, and so I just want you to introduce yourself to our listening audience and tell us basically, you know, how you got started as a makeup artist and when you got started as a makeup artist.
Okay, so I got started as a makeup artist about, 2014? So it was in 2003 that I actually became interested in becoming a makeup artist. And as Donna Mee had to remind me a little while ago, that I was actually looking into becoming a fashion stylist. And I reached out to some people, and somehow I got connected with a fashion stylist. And in the corner of my eye while I was on set being an assistant, I saw the makeup artist, and I was like, I could do that. Like, that looks like so much fun. And that sparked my interest, and, you know, there goes the story. So I started looking at taking classes at that point. And so that's that's really when it all started.
And so you decided on Donna School.
I did decide on Donna School. I have to tell you, though, right before I became a makeup artist, this is actually really funny. You know the saying, how the saying goes, pain pushes you until vision pulls you. That was really the life that I was living. And I started out I came here from Chicago. I'm originally from Chicago, and moved here, in 2002. And I was working as a used car saleswoman. And I had been in corporate America. I know, right? I had been in corporate America since I had graduated from college for 10 years, and was fed up. I was fed up, and it was so painful to be in the corporate surroundings and dealing with the bureaucracy and all of all of that, not really being able to be a creative in that environment. And so that was my pain. Yeah, that was so my pain. And so I just up and one day quit. No plan, nothing. And in the midst of settling myself and looking at, well, what is it that I would really enjoy doing, and what could I really be inspired by on a daily basis? And I knew I wanted to get into the entertainment industry, but I had no idea that what part of the industry I wanted to really dive into. And because I was, 2,500 miles away from home, something started to speak to me more at that particular time in my life than ever before. I grew up in the beauty industry with my mom being a Mary Kay beauty consultant, and she was doing that since I was 9. And I never felt safe, to do that for some reason. I felt like I didn't want to follow in my mom's footsteps for some reason, or, be a Mary Kay beauty consultant. But I knew that what she did for women, I wanted to do. I wanted to provide them with a sense of loving themselves and appreciating their physical beauty and being uplifted, which is what I feel my mom actually did or does. She still is a Mary Kay director, and she does that for women constantly. She uplifts them, she gives them a sense of empowerment, and I felt safer being here in California to make beauty my expression in my way. Like, I didn't have to be at a counter, and I didn't have to be a consultant, like a beauty consultant, but I could express that in some other way, and so I chose to be a makeup artist.
All right, nice.
Speaking
of being a makeup artist, you call yourself a red carpet makeup artist. Tell us a little bit about your experience in that side of makeup.
Absolutely. I became a red carpet makeup artist when I started getting gigs for the Grammys, the Golden Globes, the Oscars, and that all happened through a series of events that I think every makeup artist journey is very different from everyone else's. Just like anything in life that you decide to put your head to and like pursue. But in that, like, you know, in my journey, I was on a tour. I have to think about this. I was on a tour with Revlon, and they gave me the spotlight during that tour. It was 8 makeup artists, and of the 8, they chose me as the spokesperson. So on this 25-city tour, I became the face of their tour and started to speak in front of the camera and tell the story of their new product and really get engaged with the public. And from that, another person that was on the tour that was behind the scenes had referred me to the Miss Universe organization. And then from that experience and the Revlon experience, Revlon actually referred me to an agency here, the top agency in California. And from that, they then started putting me on, taking Revlon's recommendation and saying, like, she's awesome, she's amazing, you want her on your roster. And this was even before I had a portfolio. Like, I didn't have a portfolio.
Oh, wow.
At all. And they trusted Revlon. You know, that letter of recommendation went a really long way. And so they, since they trusted them, they went ahead and put me on to those events that I just mentioned, you know, the Golden Globes, the Oscars, the Emmys, the Grammys. And I won their hearts. I started winning people's hearts and had really good time, you know, really connecting with people, which I think is the fundamental thing that separates one makeup artist from the next, is your ability to connect and make those connections and really keep people at a level of, you know, like a high level of like confidence and believing in what they're up to, and you're like creating their look for them before they're about to hit the public eye. And so, you know, word gets around, and they keep referring. They keep you on your toes and keep you working. So that's kind of how that all started. Mm-hmm.
Well,
and by the way, I'm so sorry. I wanted to say, because it feels like, and I was scared. I want to let everybody else know that, because I know this show is one that a lot of artists listens to, and I was definitely scared to make all those moves and to be my first celebrity or know that my work was going to be on camera and whatnot. And I was shaking in my boots and terrified the whole time and still went through with it. And I think, you know, that's so key. It's to feel the fear and still do it.
Well, speaking of all of that, when you first started, but now that you've done it so many times, what would you say for someone who's just starting with red carpet makeup? What do you think are some key things that they should pay attention to or be prepared for?
Key things to be prepared for, I think, you know, before getting to the level of doing celebrities and or people for the red carpet is to hone your craft. I tell makeup artists this all the time. Make sure that you've practiced a lot. And on a 25-city tour where I was doing hundreds of faces, I got a lot of practice. And so I got to deal with different skin types and tones and shapes and sizes and eyeball shapes and what is going on. And, you know, and I figured a lot of stuff out. It helped that I went to Donna Mee School, Empire Academy of Makeup, because I got to learn the logical, like what logically works and doesn't work, because she really does explain all that and put it into very, you know, like layman's terms. But you had, like, understanding color theory and understanding the art behind what you're doing is very key. But also the practicing your craft. So much to the point that, you know, if who you see, and I'll use any celebrity. So you see Queen Latifah or Mariah Carey or any celebrity, you see them made up. But if you got them in your chair and they were a blank canvas, how do you recreate that from, you know, your point, from your position as a makeup artist? How do you recreate that? And knowing the art and skill of being a makeup artist is so key to be able to translate, you know, that and have Mariah Carey look like Mariah Carey when she walks out, because they don't look like that when they come in your chair. And it could freak somebody out, like, holy cow, like, what is that about? I didn't know you had a rash. I didn't know you had purple skin under there. And I didn't know that your eye was actually farther set apart. You know, how do I compensate for those things? And being able to have the practice of so many hundreds of faces in your chair really does set you apart and have you have confidence to be able to approach any situation and make it your own.
Absolutely. What are some key products you believe should be in every makeup artist?
Key products. I would definitely say if you are a self-taught makeup artist, that you, and this is hard. Okay, so if you're a self-taught makeup artist or you learn makeup from a school or what have you, I would say get a color wheel and learn how to use a color wheel. You know what I mean? Like, that is a lifesaver, you know, knowing how to cover up red, knowing how to cover up, you know, blue, and knowing just color theory as a basis for your knowledge is so key. Aside from that, as far as products are concerned, I would say have an amazing range of foundations that you can, like, trust is going to work with oily skin, dry skin, flaky skin, you know, like, have your staples and foundation, because I truly believe this. If you can get the canvas to look perfect, everything else is an add-on. Everything else is an add-on. Colors that you use to pop the cheeks and the lips and the eyes and all of that, they will love you if their skin is looking like it's $1 billion. You know what I mean? Like, the skin to me is paramount. And once you have that, everything else kind of flows from there. So some of the foundations that I use that I love are Makeup Forever. I also really, really, really love, what's the other? I just got this, and I'm so sorry. I'm going to blank. I'm going to blank. Ah, so sorry. So Makeup Forever is one, and then the other I use is, Kevin Aucoin, sorry. Mm-hmm. I use a Kevin Aucoin. I love how it blends. I love just the texture of it, the feel of it, all of it. It really works. But Makeup Forever is one of my go-tos because I can get it, you know, in all the different ranges of colors, but I can mix it very well. And get any kind of color that I want out of it. So that's like one of my key staples in my makeup kit.
Nice. So earlier I heard you mention, you know, you talked about uplifting women and, you know, the sense of them loving themselves and empowerment. Women being made beautiful, you wanted to see women being made beautiful, and you wanted to express that in your own way. I introduced you earlier as a beauty activist.
Yes.
When you mentioned all of that, you know, loving themselves and you wanted them to be uplifted, did that have anything to do with what led you to being a BDS?
Everything to do with me becoming a beauty activist. And, you know, beauty activist obviously is a made-up thing. But for me, it really spoke to what I was preaching on a daily basis when I had someone sit in my chair and I would hear them have negative commentary about who they were or what they looked like or what was wrong with their face and all this other stuff. You know, to me, I was advocating for them to actually love all of it, you know, even the bad stuff, all the imperfections that they have. I was a champion for them to see, you know, that all of that is even lovable. So to me, what an, you know, like an activist, they fight for people's rights. They fight for equality, and they fight, you know, they fight for the betterment or the better good of humanity. And so for me, you know, putting beauty in front of activists is more or less me saying, you know what, like I'm gonna fight for you to see and feel that beauty that I see. What I do know is that 99% of the time when I'm looking at someone's face, I'm looking for what is going to have all of their amazing features that are really distinct to them come out. What is it that I can do to have the features that I see that are so amazing about them really shine? While most times people are looking at, wow, how do I get rid of that? What do I do to erase that? You know, or whatever. So my thinking is just different when I approach people that sit in my chair. And when we start to talk and we start to get deeper into conversations around their beauty and who they are in the world and what they want to do or accomplish that they're not doing, I take it on to, like, really empower them to have them leave my chair feeling like, yeah, okay, I'm good. I am that.
Right.
I'm okay. Yeah.
So do you ever feel like when you're doing makeup, and it doesn't matter whether it's a celebrity or someone that's not a celebrity, but do you always feel like you always come across issues with women when it comes to beauty, them having, like, maybe low self-esteem or not a high confidence in how they look? Do you ever feel like you come across that a lot?
Yes. Yes, and it's not just women. All honesty, I think, you know, most of the men that I've worked with in my chair probably are a little more self-conscious than women are. And, you know, the reason that I particularly chose women is because I am a woman and I could completely relate with what it is that we deal with on a daily basis. From the external world to the internal conversations that we have with ourselves about why we aren't what we see externally. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, I could so relate to that. So I chose women. And I think that the conversation is probably equally from both men and women. You know, they're more or less comparing themselves to, you know, everything that we see on a daily basis, all the imagery and all, you know, all the success that we think other people have that we don't, or how smart somebody is as opposed to how, you know, unknowledgeable of some things that we aren't. But around our physical appearance, you know, I honestly feel like we, in more ways than not, use our physical body as a I don't know how to say this right now, but kind of just like as a shield or you know, facade to not mm-hmm. deal with what's really happening inside of us. We kind of
right.
use that as our muse as opposed to really dealing with what there is to deal with to get like our nose is perfect, to get that our complexion came out the way that it did for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes something to go there, to have that kind of conversation and to then settle into I'm okay because I
right.
am this particular kind of beautiful.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I'm this particular kind.
You have a book, and you do lectures. But you have a book called
yeah.
Fearless Beauty, A Woman's Guide to Living Bold, Living Bold, Beautiful, and Free. What do you think
oh.
it takes for a woman to get to that point where she's living bold, beautiful, and free?
Thank you for asking that. Thank you so much for asking that. So that was my first book that I came out with, Fearless Beauty. You know, and I really think that for someone to be living bold, beautiful, and free is to, one, realize where you're being stopped in any of those areas. So whether it is being beautiful, whether it's being bold, whether it you are feeling trapped or constrained in some way from not completely being your authentic self, that's the first step. It's just recognizing it. And I think so much of our time is spent outside of ourselves, you know, socializing, whether it's on the computer or with other people or with the television or what have you, that we really neglect the fact that we need time to hear what is going on inside. We need time to absorb what our intuition and feel it out and find where our space and our territory is so that we can flourish and do the things that we want to do, to be bold, to be free, to be okay that we came in this particular package and this type of beauty, and that this type of beauty is going to have an effect on the rest of the world, the way that it is. So what does it take? I think first it just takes recognizing where you feel like you're not that. And then once you've done that, it's a matter of breaking through.
What fears do you think some women face in regards to beauty?
I feel it all stems from this little thing called rejection. You know, I think rejection is probably our biggest fear. We want to be accepted. We want to feel loved and appreciated for who we are, for how we are, for why we came into this world, even if we don't understand it. And much of our journey in life is coming up against what we aren't. You know what I mean? Like, and like, oh, I'm not that. You know, I'm not that. I'm not that. And then once we're through, like once we have an opportunity to get to some of those, oh, yeah, I'm not that. I'm not that. I'm not that. No, I'm not that. Then we can start looking at, okay, well, what am I? Who am I? What am I going to express and be and do in the world? It becomes a whole different conversation, and it's more fun, to be honest. It's so much more fun to play in the conversation of who am I going to create myself to be than the other, you know, the other conversation of, you know, well, if I'm not that, then what am I? You know, I'm not that. Okay. For me, it was, I'm not a, you know, I'm not a consultant. I was in consulting before. I'm not a used car salesperson. I'm not, you know, it is all these, but I'm not, you know, a mother. I'm not this. I'm not that. So, you know, what do I want if I'm not all these things? And who am I going to create myself to be?
Now, talk a little bit about the book.
Yes.
What led you to write the book, and talk about how the book and your lectures are helping women to get to the point where they are free and bold.
Yes. So, what made me have me write the book? It was mainly it actually happened. It happened the moment I finished school at Empire Academy of Makeup. You know, I started my career, and it started off with a bang. I was doing the LA Fashion Week, and I started at the largest cosmetic company in the world, L'Oreal Paris, and I was working for them and doing really great stuff, and my marriage went in the toilet. we got separated. As I told you, I was living out here in California, so we were living together, and then I found myself, like, not having any friends out here, being separated from the only person I really did know. I didn't have any family. The job that started out being ideal at L'Oreal Paris was more or less a nightmare, and I hated it. So it felt like my world was caving in, and I did not feel beautiful. I did not feel confident. I did not feel free. I didn't feel bold. I felt all the opposite, and it came to a crisis. You know, I came to a crisis. My health had failed me. I got fired from a job. Anything that you would think, you know, okay, this, I'm at my lowest point, something else would happen, right? And it was from there that I went to seek out a retreat. And it was in that retreat that I actually learned to meditate and do body movement and really take care of myself and stop using my facade to make it look like I was successful, to make it look like I was okay, to make it look like, because that's what we do in life. We pretend, you know, oh, yeah, everything's great. No, I got this handled. And I didn't have it handled. It was everything but handled. I had no money, no friends, no family, no husband, no nothing. And learning to get grounded and centered was my turning point, was my aha epiphany. Like, once I finished that week-long retreat, I was sure that this is what beautiful looked and felt like. You know, I had not seen that in myself probably since I was, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, where I can look in the mirror and, like, really honestly just, oh, she's really great. I love you. Ha-ha. You know, and make fun of the mirror and just be okay with it. And the grounding that I had and felt after that week is really what kicked off Fearless Beauty. And for me, I was looking for, well, how can I bring this feeling, this sense of acceptance and love that I feel for myself to other women? And that's when the opportunity of the Revlon tour happened. It was like that was the universe or God's way of saying, yes, this is your opportunity. I'm going to give you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of women to share that with. And I felt like, wow, what a privilege to be of service in that way. And so every face that I touch, I had that intention. That was my only intention, was to bring a sense of they're okay. You can be bold. You are bold. You are beautiful to every person that I touched. And so, you know, that whole journey, and then hearing the feedback of women while I was, you know, on that tour, telling me what was wrong. I don't like this. Life is terrible. All this other stuff is when I got it. I was like, oh, yeah, how can I put this in a message that more people can hear it? Because I'm only one makeup artist. You know, I can't do like 1,000 faces at once. How can I spread the message in a bigger way? And therefore, the book came about, and then speaking came about, and that's kind of how it evolved. And it took some time to write the book, by the way.
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But you said you heard a lot of women's stories. You know, when you're going to speak. What's some of the feedback that you're getting from some of your lectures when women, you know, they've shared their stories with you, but then they hear you speak? What's some of their feedback on your lectures and some of the feedback from your book? How has it helped them?
How has it helped them? Great. Well, you know what? I the feedback that I've gotten and how it's helped women is knowing, you know, the difference between their delusional diva, which I distinguish in my book, and their intuition. I think that is probably the biggest thing that I hear over and over again. Because a lot of, if we're not really grounded and centered, a lot of what we hear all the time is our delusional diva. And our delusional diva really does run the show. She's that voice that will try and keep you safe, will keep you small, will keep you from getting the happiness that you really desire. It's the one that says to you, I'm not going to make that call. I'm not quite ready to take those kind of jobs yet. I don't look this way, so I probably won't get that position, or, you know, he won't like me because whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? Like that voice that's just tiny, the one that is always running our thoughts all the time, as opposed to the one that, the voice that says to us, you know what, I don't know why, and this doesn't quite make sense, but I think I should make a break right now. You know what I mean? That voice is saying, you know what, it may be the absolute worst time to speak up, but I really know that my truth will add value here. Or this man isn't quite what I thought he would look like and smell like and feel like, but I really know he's good for my soul. It's the more, you know, it's not the voice that's scared of. It's the one that just intuitively in tune with what is right for you and makes sense for where you want to be in life and who you want to be with and why you want your life to look like you want it to look like. That's the main difference that I think my lectures provide for women, being able to actually tap into their intuition more and listen to it and feel like they can trust it and, you know, like have confidence that it's doing its job and making choices that are actually in the best interest of you and not the one that is trying to, you know, get over their past hurts and doing things because of out of spite and revenge and they not going to hurt me no more and all that other stuff.
What are some of the – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to ask this question, and it may be something that, you know, you think about before
before you ask it, because I know we've pretty much asked this question before tonight, but overall, you know, while we're all working towards that freedom and that boldness that's pretty much called self-love, as a whole, how do we get other women to that point? And again, I know we asked that question, but how do we really, as a community, as a beauty community, you know, especially with makeup artists, hairstylists, and everybody in the beauty industry, how do we really get women to that point? I mean, not considering the services, you know, the makeup is making us look beautiful, having a great hairdo, you know, helps you to feel beautiful, and, you know, when everything's put together and everything's complete. But just, you know, pure naked face, you know, nothing special about the hair or the nails, nothing that's given us what could be perceived as an artificial beauty.
Mm-hmm.
How do we as a beauty community get women to that point of self-love? I mean, there are so many different, you know, so many different programs and groups. You know, for instance, there's the Sister Accord where, you know, it's pretty much targeting all women, but with their tea parties, they're targeting the younger women. And I'm sure it's probably going to start, it probably needs to start early in life. But do you have any idea or any suggestion on how we do that as a community?
I absolutely do. So I believe, one, since we, I don't, you know, like Beauty Talk Radio is one way, right? You are definitely putting it in the fiber of people. The conversations that you're holding, that's one. Having more conversations like this is how it's going to happen. And, yes, having groups and all this and interacting with like-minded people. But at the very core is finding a way to be at peace and have stillness throughout, like as a practice is really how you'll begin, we all will begin to change this conversation from the physical to a more substantive conversation. And That I think is at the core. So when we can learn to be still, I cannot stress this enough. Just even if you start with a minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes and turn everything off and just be still, you are. You hold every single one of us holds the key to our own happiness, and how we've set up our society right now is to be distracted by everything that could potentially add something to ourselves, right? You know, commercials and every product that's out there are really playing into the fact that we inherently feel like we are missing something and that we are separate from each other and our happiness. And so they create commercials that say, if you have whiter teeth, you will definitely get the man of your dreams. If you have bigger breasts, you will definitely have the house that you want with the man of your dreams. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, they play into that inherent fear. And so the only way to get to a place where you have absolute knowledge and knowing is to know that nothing outside of you can provide that you do that for yourself. And the only way to get there is to be silent. And silence can happen as you're walking, as you're running, as you're doing yoga, as you're, you know, it can happen in so many different ways. People feel like, well, I can't sit there and not do, you know, like nothing. You can do it while you're cooking. If that's your way of zoning in and really paying attention to the self as opposed to everything and everybody else around you. You know, if you're cooking because I got to cook, everybody got to eat, you know, and that's what's going on through your head while you're cooking, it's not considered a meditation. It's only considered a meditation when you lose all sense of the external and really can focus and hone in on the silence in between all the doing.
Absolutely. What do you think, or in your opinion, what gives women confidence?
Yes. So, you know what? I wrote, this is so great. I'm really grateful that you asked this question. And the reason is I wrote a blog around confidence. I think it was body confidence. And, you know, I made the distinction. I really love the play on words and what words actually mean. So for me, I think it's important that I say what the definition of confidence is so that there's like this understanding. So in our dictionary, it says full trust, belief in the powers, trustworthiness, or reliability of a person or a thing. Belief in oneself and one's powers or abilities. Assurance, certitude. This is like the definition of confidence, right? And so if you are to have confidence in self, what needs to be present would be trustworthiness, a sense of that you can be a person that is reliable, that you would believe in your power, right? So for a woman to embody confidence, the only thing that we would need, if we're looking at the definition, would be to have us be a person who is reliable. And that looks different to all of us. But to create a sense of reliability for ourselves, it all starts with our word. So if we say to ourselves, I'm a makeup artist, right? And I do everything but be a makeup artist, meaning I don't apply makeup to anybody. I don't do it to myself. I don't practice it on other people, my friends, my family. Your word then loses trustworthiness. And so we have a diminished sense of confidence because our word isn't being fulfilled. So for me, a woman who exudes confidence is someone who can say out of her mouth what it is that she is and is about and can fulfill on that reliably. This does not mean that we are doing this for other people outside of us, you know, which often we try and do. We're like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be this because my mom said I couldn't do this or my dad said I could do that. Or, you know, we're fulfilling on someone else's expectations of who we should be. But when we really get to a point where we can feel like we can set up for ourselves, this is who I am. This is who I am going. This is how I practice in life. Like, this is just it. Right, and then we can fulfill on that. We then feel confident. You know, it's a muscle that we build on a day-to-day basis. It's in practicing my word actually means something. And I'm proving that to myself every day. You know, if I say I'm a runner and I don't run for 6 months, you lose confidence that you're a runner.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's what I feel confidence is. It's a matter of building up your word to actually be reliable to yourself.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Well, what are your thoughts on how Hollywood defines beauty?
I don't think Hollywood defines it, which is interesting. I don't think it actually defines it. I honestly feel like it has a perception.
Or their definition, I should say, of beauty.
Yeah. Like, you know, I don't know that they don't necessarily define it. They definitely or have a definition for it, right? It's all about what it looks like, right? And that has changed throughout the history of Hollywood. You know, it used to be a woman with voluptuous curves, and then it morphed, you know, it morphed, and it keeps morphing. So I honestly feel like they do project onto people what they perceive as beautiful, right? And they only do it through pictures and motion picture and stuff like that. Like they project what they think is ideal physical beauty. And I believe that every one of us, inside of us, we have a different idea of the other stuff that goes along with what makes that person beautiful. So some people can look at, let's say Kim Kardashian. Some people can look at Kim Kardashian and say, you know, she's aesthetically pleasing, she's beautiful, right? And then they see other qualities in her that don't resonate with them that is beautiful. So, you know, maybe it's the way that she talks or how she handles certain situations or how she is with her family that people would be like, oh, she's so ugly. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
So I think in each of us, we have our internal clues as to what beautiful and beauty looks like and feels like. And when someone doesn't match that as a whole, we determine, oh, yeah, like that's beautiful. That picture is beautiful or that person is beautiful. But outside of that, I think that outside of physical appearance, I really don't think that Hollywood defines it. They have a definite perception of what it looks like, but they don't define it. We all kind of have internally those cues for ourselves that say, oh, yeah, I think generous people are really beautiful, or, people with small feet and big hearts, you know, are like, oh, she has small feet and she has a big heart. Oh, okay, I get that. She is really beautiful, and everything else in between is left up for interpretation. So that's my take on that. I think we all have that power to really define it and express that in our own unique way. And that I think, is at the heart of what Fearless Beauty is about as well, being able to own that power that you possess, that you can define beauty for yourself on your own terms, is key.
So we have a question coming from our Beauty Talk BDM. Brandeis is asking, how do you react to ugly acting clients?
Yes. you know what? I have had this conversation with so many other artists, and I will be absolutely just so honest. I have probably had one, maybe two people who have been devalicious. And, like, what? Like, I don't even get their whole scheme. You know what I mean? And outside of those two or maybe three times that I've dealt with that, I don't deal with that. I really feel like every person I interact with is really a reflection of me. And going in there like that, I tend to have the best experiences. Now, to answer the question, how have I dealt with it when I did come across it? I am inquisitive. I'm an inquisitive person by nature, so I ask a lot of questions. And I think through my questioning, either they get annoyed or they get who they are being that they aren't able to really answer the questions that I'm asking them. You know, like a person that'll be like, oh, I only wear this kind of mascara and you don't even have it in your bag and I don't get it, blah, blah, blah. Say, oh, okay, well, why did you use that mascara? What about that mascara that makes it so superior? And so they'll have to think, you know, and most times people cannot answer that question. Sometimes they can. You know, they'll be like, oh, you know, the fibers, it does this, it does that, and da, 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 da. Most people can't. And I said, well, if I can make your lashes look the same without that mascara, would you still feel beautiful, or would you still feel confident walking out there? And if she says yes, which most times they do, I said, okay, well, let me try it. Let me see if I can rock it for you. And if I don't rock it, then that's when we have a problem. But 9 times out of 10, I'm able to get the same effect that they think they want with something else, and they're cool.
And they're cool.
Yeah, and they're cool. Like, I literally have to bring them down, you know, not, like, bring them down in a bad way, but just
right.
knock them down. Okay, but if I could do that, and it's not your product, are you going to tell somebody it's not your product?
Right.
Or are you going to be cool about it, right? So
right.
That's generally how I would approach it. I'm always asking questions. And if they don't want to answer my questions that I think are just reasonable, you know, I'll say, yeah, okay, well, do you have that mascara in your purse? And if they don't, we'll see if we can get it for them, you know. Work with it.
Absolutely. So what's next for you?
What's next for me is more speaking, more lecturing, and really developing a retreat of sorts and or workshop for the internal conversation and dealing with the external, because I really do believe that with practice and with understanding of our physical being as it is, and knowing how to compensate for things we'd like to achieve, people really do get power. They get power and they get empowered by that unique beauty, you know, beauty that shows up as them, as opposed to trying to get their forehead lifted and their eyebrows, like, you know, completely taken off and re-put on or whatever the case may be. You know what I mean? Like, less of the permanent alterations of our body and more of working with what we have in an empowered way so that we can create, you know, what we want in life. you know, when you feel empowered and beautiful around your physical image, you do things differently. You speak differently. You walk differently. You know, you have a new pair of Prada shoes on, and you have a different pep in your step. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. There is something to both the integration of the internal and the external, because our internal actually speaks volumes to what our external has on it. And if we can match the both, if we can match it up, I think that, you know, we'll have a way different experience of who we are and who we are for others and what we do for other people and how we give of ourselves. It'll just be a different experience altogether. You know, we wouldn't be trying to either hide who we are behind our clothing and makeup and nails. We would be just expressing who we are. We'd just be expressing it, you know, all that nonsense about, you know, I'm going to have the best this or that, or, you know, like using all that stuff to look like we are something other than who we are would be gone. So that's what's next for me, is really working on honing in the balance between that internal and external conversation and packaging that into more accessible workshops and retreats for women to enjoy.
Right. Nice.
And I want to say, your show is awesome.
Thank you. Your show is awesome.
I've listened to some shows previous, and I was really inspired. And like I said, it takes people like you to open up people to a different conversation, and you know what I'm saying? To just be
Absolutely.
Having. Yeah, so thank you for doing this. It means so much.
Oh, wow, thank you. What's beauty to you, since we've talked about, you know, women getting to the point where they're seeing themselves beautiful? What do you believe beauty is?
Beauty, I believe, is everything that we are, all the aspects of who we are. So it's our body, it's our mind, it's our emotional self, it's our spirit. It's just not our physical being. It's all of it. And, you know, I relate to beauty as a whole. I really do. One without the other is nonsense. Or any one aspect without the other is just kind of silly to me. It doesn't even make sense. You know, when I see a physically, aesthetically beautiful person, I know for sure that it isn't all complete for me until I understand their spirit and I understand their thoughts and you know, like who they are. You know, like it just doesn't automatically occur to me, like, oh, that's a beautiful person. It's until I get to know and hear and experience that all the aspects of them. So that's what beauty is
right.
for me. Everything, all of who we are.
And we have one last question really quickly from the tweet chat. Sharon Tina wanted to ask, what would you say is the most powerful tool we can use as women to combat the ideal beauty society promotes?
I'm sorry, can you repeat it one more time?
What would you say is the most powerful tool we can use as women to combat the ideal beauty society promotes?
Be yourself. Do you. Just do you. That's the best way that we can combat that, because if more people are inspired to do them, beauty in the way, in the form that you came in, we will start to see more, blue-black on TV. We'll get to see more Asian on TV. We'll get to see more heavy or, round or pear-shaped or, we'll get to see bald women, and we'll get to see the short, male with the, round keg. And if people learn to rock their own individuality, their own style of humanness, that is that's the only way we can combat what we see on television and in the media, whether it's magazines and stuff. It's the only way we're going to be able to do it, because if they get like, oh, people aren't really interested in the Barbie doll, blonde, blue eyes, small waist, big chest. If they get like, oh, people are really just looking to like rock everything. We'll see more JCPenney commercials, but as car commercials, we're just regular freaking people doing regular stuff, being fabulous, because that's how we all are. The media will have to catch up, and to combat that, I would say also appreciate when you see different beauty. Don't idealize and talk about the ideal beauty as being beautiful all the time. Like, really appreciate those people who are rocking their individuality and expressing themselves as they are. And be like, hey, I do it all the time. I'm notorious for complimenting people on obscure things that they would normally find like, oh, really? because I really appreciate that they're not trying to do something other than just be who they are.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you for asking that question. That's powerful. That is at the heart of it, I think, is more people just really getting into really figuring out for themselves what works.
Right.
Well, share with us your social media, how we can follow you on social media, and then how we can purchase your books.
Yes. So I am on Facebook. Facebook is Kenesha, and it's spelled K-E-N-E-T-I-A, and it's Beauty Activist. So Kenesha Beauty Activist, you can find me there. And I'm on Instagram as Beauty Activist. My website is Beauty Activist. I do a newsletter every month, and you can sign up on my website for that. And then how you would get my book would be to go to Amazon. And my first book that I have is Fearless Beauty, Being Bold, Beautiful, and Free. However, that is discontinued. My book that I have out is Fearless Beauty 360, A Complete Guide to Self-Acceptance and Empowerment. And you can find that on Amazon. You can find it on BN, so BarnesandNoble.com, and Walmart.com, believe it or not.
All right. So that's Fearless Beauty 360. Okay, I think I got them mixed up. Okay.
Okay.
And so the Fearless Beauty 360 is the one that you just did for in L.A., right?
the Fearless Beauty 360 is what I did the book signing on.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I have it straight now. Okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's great. Yeah, and that's in some bookstores. A bookstore called Books A Million. And I don't know that they're everywhere, but it's definitely in Books A Million.
Yeah. They do have a lot of those on the East Coast as well. So.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was in Chicago at a book signing, and I'd never heard of them before then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on the East Coast.
Okay.
Do they not have them out on the West Coast?
They don't. They don't. Okay. I've never seen it ever.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I want to thank you, ladies, for having me on. I'm actually running to a meditation class that I'm teaching right now. And
that's quite
all right. Yeah, and that's something that I do as well, as I teach meditation. And it's like I told you before, I think once we can find a way to be centered and meditate and learn to be quiet, we can really start listening to our and trusting our intuition a lot more. And that is going to carry us so much further in life and in everything we want to accomplish as a whole.
Yep.
So if anyone's out in Los Angeles, join me. You'll see the classes on my website as well to learn how to meditate.
Nice. Well, thank you very much. We appreciate you joining us tonight. And we'll definitely have to get you back on sometime later down the road so we can catch up on the success of this new book and find out what else you're up to.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here. And thank you, all the listeners, as well.
All right. Thank you, and have a good night.
You too. Bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you guys for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate it. Thanks again to Kenesha Lee as well. We hope you enjoyed tonight's conversation. If you did, go out and mark it as a favorite here on our Blog Talk Radio page. You can also leave your comments and additional questions on our Beauty Talk Facebook page as well, and that's Beauty Talk Online. Denise, do you have anything else you want to say?
Yes, I have my weekly reminder to follow Beauty Talk on Twitter at @beauty_talk, on Instagram at @beauty_talk_media, and on Facebook, Beauty Talk Online Radio. And also join us here at Beauty Talk on next week, which is Sunday the 30th, for Melanie Mills of Gleam Body Radiance.
All right, excited about that interview. Thanks for Brandy with all her tweets tonight, and Sharon Tina for her tweets and her comments and also her questions. Hopefully this conversation would help a lot of those people out there who listen tonight become more bold when it comes to their beauty. So again, thanks to Kenesha Lee, and until next Sunday, have a beautiful and blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.